When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Work's cordless power tools and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Work's cordless power tools and lawn equipment. Plus the weekly flyer today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys will rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven here. Robbery, homicides, take it out.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best. I'm trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Heat Minute. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is, of course, the podcast that has examined all 166 pre-credits minutes of Michael Mann's 1995 crime epic Heat, 1 minute at a time. We have just completed the Heat 2 book club miniseries. I hope you all enjoyed that. Six part, six bumper stacked episodes. This is now the second of three episodes that we are diving into, talking about fantasy casting this potential Heat 2 flick. I have three amazing guests for you. The first up is Joshua Caldwell, filmmaker behind his latest flick, Mend the Line, which stars Michael Mann alums Brian Cox and, of course, Wes Studi, my partner in crime on all things Miami Nice in the Modern Man Horny Campfire. Katie Walsh is back talking to me. She's been so excited. We've been chomping at the bit on our Patreon-sponsored Discord about Heat fan casting. So this is the first one where we're actually sharing. And finally, Connor O'Donnell, who I reined in our original conversation in the Heat 2 book club, also is back, and we've got a bumper episode for you. So before we get started, thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you for your ongoing support. Check out oneheatminute.com for all of our shows. If you've got anything that you want to mail us about, it's mail@oneheatminute.com. And we are nearing the end. We're trying to get to 200. 200 episodes of One Heat Minute, and I think we may close the door. We've got a couple of final folk who want to come on and guest, and then we're going to close the feed down. It will be a succinct 200 episodes, and we'll pump the brakes on conversations about Heat. Until maybe, who knows, if this movie ever exists. But let's dive in. Let's talk to some friends and imagine a world where it does.
Ooh, you know who I thought? Okay, well, here's a question. Are we trying to get close? Like, are we trying to be in the same world? Like, are you going to cast a guy who's not Italian as Vincent Hanna? You know,
I'm okay with, I mean, look, the example that I say, there's two examples that I love. Robert De Niro, obviously. At the time, we didn't know Robert De Niro was Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro was just a great young up-and-coming actor playing the role vacated by Marlon Brando.
right.
That is the scariest fucking prospect. Like, that's why Robert De Niro almost, like, for life gained his career, because it's like, who would be mad enough to do that? Actually, I'm going to give a third example. The other one is the Joker after Jack. Like, Heath taking Joker after Jack, and people being like, there's no way you can do better than Jack. Jack, iconic. I mean, now it feels like in the post-Dark Knight world, it's like Heath Ledger's the Joker. Like, people have forgotten. But, like, Not from 1989 to 2008, it was unconscionable that any other human being could be the Joker on the big screen because Jack did it. And once Jack did it, it's like no one else. So there's that. And then I would just say, look at Moonlight. It's a triptych. They cast three different kids. You could totally have had the first two kids be played by the same kid if you really wanted to.
Right.
But they went, no, Barry Jenkins made the great choice of like, I will get their essence. And I think it can totally be done. So I'm not necessarily wedded to an ethnic background, but you need someone, especially for Hannah, you need someone who is not tall. They have to be quite diminutive. And yet they have to have bluster. Like his whole MO is disorientating potential marks by aggressively berating them and saying the same, using the same techniques. And so you have to have someone who has the confidence that can do that. So in my mind, so I'm not necessarily wedded, but if you think that it's ethnicity is important, I just want to hear what you have to say. Cause I've had my say.
Yeah. I don't know if it is. I mean, I think that like, it's a tough question.
This is why I didn't allow you to prepare. It's too hard to prepare for.
Yeah. You know who, for some reason, the person that came to mind, if you were talking about somebody like Chris, like Chehalis, would be like a Miles Teller.
Why do you suppose I just hurled a chair at your head, Neiman?
I don't know.
Sure you do.
The tempo?
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
I don't know.
Start counting.
5, 6, 7.
In four, damn it! Look at me!
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, was I rushing or was I dragging?
I don't know.
Count again.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Rushing or dragging?
Rushing.
So you do know the difference! If you deliberately sabotage my band, I will fuck you like a pig. Now, are you a rusher or are you a dragger or are you going to be on my fucking time?
I'm going to be on your time.
What does that say?
Quarter note equals 215.
Count me at 215.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like, you know, he's kind of got that vibe to me that could work.
He's tall. He's tough. He's intense.
He's tough. I mean, you can see him, you know. Yeah, you just kind of got a vibe, right? Like, especially some of his later stuff. And obviously, you know, you're going to probably go to like, you know, who's a bigger actor or who's a big actor right now. Originally when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this and I was listening to some of your other interviews. I was like, oh, like, what about like, if you're trying to get close to Hannah or to Pacino, I feel like looks wise, somebody like Milo Ventimiglia could be in that same universe.
Yeah, totally.
Whether he's got the, I mean, I don't know if anybody has sort of that wild aggression that Pacino does, or at least that he displays in this film.
You know, that's what lit the world ablaze when Pacino's like, oh, just give it to Chalamet, which was a joke. I was there. Everyone knew it was a joke. He then said that Harry Styles should play Bob's character because he's a song and dance man. It was a troll and it was funny. So relax, all of you Chalamet heads out there. I don't know what the One Heat Minute audience Chalamet head crossover is, but just relax. It was a joke. He didn't actually mean that. But no, it's so hard to think of like, who are those guys? Like, who is the Pacino of our generation?
And it's tough because, you know, like I said, you know, do you do it as it's, if you're doing it as it stands on its own, is that, can you really do that? Can you really escape sort of the legacy of Heat, because you know Heat exists? Better question is to ask somebody that's never seen Heat, you know, oh, who'd you cast as like this guy and this guy?
Well, my question to you is, because you know, as a filmmaker and casting, do you think, or is it a feeling in the community? And I know this is like just an off the wall thing, but it's like, could there ever be a world where, like, because he's the right age, that like a Leo DiCaprio would want to do Neil McCauley because Bob played Neil McCauley? Like, is there a world that could exist? And I don't know if that's the right answer, but I also go like, Michael Mann making Heat, which is such a big, important movie to a lot of people, maybe a lot of people that are currently working in the industry, and also the challenge, the shot. Do you want a shot at doing Bob? Do you want a shot at it? Like,
I mean, just to throw this out there, if you have anybody, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, and it's a little bit of a lazy answer because you already said it, but what if you put DiCaprio as Neil up against Christian Bale as Hannah?
I can't do it, Dan. And if I can't do it, you shouldn't do it either.
They say discretion is the better part of valor.
If you think you have an obligation to me or to the railroad, I assure you, you do not. I'm releasing you.
It's just you left, Dan. Just you and your boy.
Maybe he's right, Pa. Maybe we should go home.
What did Doc Potter give his life for, William? McElroy.
Little red ants on a hill.
I'll pay you the $200, Dan, right now, and you can walk away.
You know, this whole riot has been nagging on me. That's what the government gave me for my leg. $198.36, and the funny thing is that when you think about it, which I have been lately, because they weren't paying me to walk away. They were paying me so they could walk away.
Don't muddy the past and the present, Dan.
No, wait. I'm seeing the world the way it is.
If you take them to the train, Pa, I'm going with you.
No. Mr. Butterfield's going to take you home.
I mean, Bale's got the, like, you know, American Psycho.
He's got
craziness.
It.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that be a sexy and appetizing film poster? wouldn't that be an appetizer? Those two guys, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, because here's
and
the
man
thing, like,
loves
though...
Bale. Man loves Bale.
I know. He's, it's really, like... I mean, I think Adam Driver will be great, but it's too bad Bale dropped out of the Ferrari movie.
Yeah, like, he loves Bale. I think that, I mean, the look, like, as far as one-to-one, they're not...
Yeah.
He's not a massive guy. Like, he's not, right. he's not 5'8", but he's not 6'3". He's 6'.
I've also never seen Bale play a cop. Like, play like a
straight cop. Yeah. Oh, well, other than he plays an FBI agent, obviously he plays Melvin Purvis, but that's
right,
the closest.
That's not, and like, it's a much more of a detective.
It's a button up. It's a very buttoned up role. Like, everything's very, very together.
Yeah, but like, he's got the ability based on his resume to sort of explode outward a little bit more, you know, but I think, like, it's a lazy answer because part of it too is I know man's going to go from the top. I mean, when he went to Pacino and De Niro to do Heat, they're here. They're at the top of their, you know,
also
career,
if you're making a 3-hour movie,
you're gonna
in
the
contemporary environment that is going to be international, that is, obviously based off of IP, and it's a New York Times bestseller. That's what happens with New York Times bestsellers. They shop them around to huge actors.
Yeah. And in a way, I mean, man's going to get his pick, you know?
And that's the thing. It's like, he will go for those big guys. Like, I imagine he has to have the conversation with them first. The producers will be like, if you don't go to Leo for Bob, you're nuts.
Right.
Because they would, like, they were months away from working with each other on The Aviator. Months.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mann said, no, I can't. And he gave it to Marty. And so that's, you know, the rest is history. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it would be a fun dialogue. Because then DiCaprio, who knows Bob, and they've worked together now a few times, and he'd be like, yeah, this just felt right. Like, do the... you know, to carry on the Heat legacy and play that.
The other interesting name for McCulty could be like Josh Brolin.
20 years ago, cocaine. Today, I'd have to say it'd be people. You know, it's a resource they don't have to cultivate or process. And if they don't make it across, they can pay it across again at three times the price of a kilo.
How would you define terrorism, Mr. Graber?
I think that's your job, sir.
That's a pick.
Right?
Yeah. Josh Brolin. One tough mofo.
Especially as a younger Neil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there isn't an older Neil, so yeah.
Yeah, like, but, you know, like the Neil of this age, trimming down, getting a little bit more slight and lean.
Yeah.
And just
give him the goatee.
Give him the goatee, the slick the hair. Yeah. It plays.
I mean, he's, again, movie star. You know, he's got the bones as a you know, a guy that can carry weapons and be believable. He's got that, you know, for Neil, he's got that closed off, quiet, very stoic sort of feel to him, you know.
Yes.
Whereas you'd want the wild card to be
that's what, you know, I think a lens we haven't added, like with some of the fans I've been talking to, so I'm excited to talk to you about it. It's like there's a community of people out there that, man, is a casting agent is going to go and give this to the biggest actors they possibly can.
Yeah.
And I just wonder in the community if the actors themselves are like have an affinity for Heat. And I'm sure many of them do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Well,
many
it's
of
like,
them
I
do.
Mean, listen, yeah. When you, and well, not just that, but working with man. I mean, when you talk about, when you have like Jamie Foxx talking about going to the school, you know, the filmmaking school of Michael Mann, you know, okay, we're going to spend a whole year just robbing banks, you know, going after drug cartels.
We're gonna finance this movie by robbing a real cartel. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Listen, you know that, because I mean, you got to up the whole Colin Farrell like going on the fake drug bust, you know, thing. Yeah. But you know, I can only imagine as an actor, like the what you get out of that process has just got to be amazing. But you also have to be an actor that's willing to do it. A lot of actors don't, you know,
yes.
They don't want to spend that long doing it. But Michael's such a force, you know.
Who did you have in mind for Wardell? I feel like Wardell, ooh, just because I've been like Zapruder filming his descriptions and the
yeah,
major.
Yeah, I heard you mention that in your other podcast. And I
the major thing that I have is that he's tall. He's bigger than Neil and Vincent, like physically.
Is he supposed to be younger?
I think he's a little bit younger than Vincent in 88, but he's big.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned a name before, which I like, which I'll share with you in a moment, but I'm keen to hear if there's anyone that you've come up with that you're like, oh, that would be fun.
You know, the funny part is I pictured him. It's weird. Cause I pictured when I was reading the book, I pictured less actors and I pictured more like what they ended up looking like, but like, I pictured as him as kind of like this bigger, kind of gross looking dude. Like, could you go with somebody like Vincent D'Onofrio or something? He's too old, but like this, not slick. He's not Neil.
No.
You know, he's you know, I imagine him as he's probably overweight. He probably doesn't take care of himself because he's like shit. But he's got to be really, really fucking scary, because that's the one thing we didn't talk about. It's like the fact that like Wardell, I think, is a great villain, because he's a villain that gets away with shit throughout the entirety of the book.
Yes.
And he just, especially at the end of this section four, when he gets away with the car, you're just like, oh, I want Chris and, you know, to be Mike to be pulling up as he pulls away.
Yeah, you want him to drive around a corner and there's Michael Cerito with a pump action shotgun just like
laying
him to waste.
But the fact that he raises those emotions in you, I think is great. I think that's what makes him a really satisfying but ultimately aggravating villain, which I think is what you want.
That would have to ugly him up, but I'm like, I'm on the Adam Driver train for Wardell. Like going full psychopath, like obviously maybe put on a bit of weight, you know, like
like a little bit more of Logan's Lucky.
Yeah. Like yeah.
Weight bit, level. And
yeah. A bit more weight, just less showering, more being disgusting and just threatening and malevolent. Like have like that. I feel like that could and would play.
Yeah. You know who else has kind of got an interesting look would be somebody like, but any of these guys, you'd have to ugly up.
Yes.
But somebody like Joel Edgerton.
Yeah. Why not?
You can imagine him being really sinister and like, you know, kind of really scary.
God, Mendo's got to be in the conversation then.
Who?
Ben Mendelsohn is Wardell.
I can tell him, tell him.
I'm all right.
You sure? Guess who am I?
Uncle Pope.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Ben Mendelsohn's played some really disgusting and deplorable psychopaths, like, you know, Animal Kingdom number one, but like even in Killing Them Softly, like he plays, like he's just, he's dripping, he's gross, it's awful.
Even in the show, Bloodline, he was pretty gross and nasty in Bloodline. You know, it'd be interesting because it would be so different for him. If you went to like Michael Shannon.
Oh, he'd be great.
Yeah.
He'd be fun to work with Michael Mann, you know, see him on the press tour just wearing Hawaiian shorts and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because the thing is, I think, like, you know, in a way, what makes him scary or Otis scary is, like, I think it's just his, like, I don't give a fuck, you know, attitude. It's less, he's definitely bigger as he's described, but I don't think he has to be. I mean, I think he's got to be a presence.
Yeah,
that's just an attitude in a lot of cases, you know.
Absolutely. I'm just more thinking if there's ever, you know, because there's a couple of sequences where Vincent and Otis are sort of similarly in the same scene and they're not quite together, and then similarly with Neil and Otis and they're not quite together, and then the crescendo of the book is that, and I want to see that big actor, like, in the frame feel like he's scary as a physical threat, because unlike Wangro, who's kind of small. That's the big difference with Wardell, is that he's got all this malevolence and violence and hair trigger, and he's clearly a psychopath, but the size of him is kind of everything.
You know, another great actor would be like Cole Hauser.
It's all right, let him out.
Get up.
Up the trunk. Oye, ven aquí.
Hurry up.
Where's the rest of it?
The other car.
Another car. Where's the other car?
On its way.
On the way, huh?
Yeah. Here's your money.
So you know nothing about the agents that stole my jet. The funny thing is, I only told one person about the airstrip.
Yes.
Who's, you know, for him. Because he's got that balance of, like, because I remember Wardell kind of being a little, like, initially there's a little bit of a, like, not attraction. There's a little bit of a, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a touch of suaveness.
Yes.
That very quickly turns into violence, you know?
Yes.
And like, so you almost have that person that's like got a little bit of that. Like, you know, I mean, Cole as Rip in Yellowstone, like he's not only a guy that like you love, but then like he will flip on a dime and like kill you, you know?
He might not be able to do time outside of the Taylor Sheridan universe. That's the other thing. Everyone is in the Yellowstone orbit. It's like,
Will Taylor rent him to Michael Mann for a year?
that needs to happen. There needs to be a bit of a conversation there.
For you, looking at the scope and scale of this book, do you think you'd want to? Would you want the movie version, or would you want to see Mann go full limited series?
I want the movie. The only thing I'm accepting as a limited series. Someone gave me this idea of like a two-night TV event where it's like 2 hours and 2 hours that you could totally put on in a theater.
Yeah.
That people can go watch. You're going to watch this four-hour thing. There's an intermission or there's like whatever. Or if you want to suck it up, it's like 3.5 hours long or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like 2 hour and 45 minute like movies length segments split wherever you decide that you're going to do the split. But that's the only thing I'll accept. I don't want a limited series because I think, just like you said, there's so much of this book, and that's not to say that it's not essential, but there's just so much of this book that when Michael Mann paints with the brush of his aesthetic, that just disappears.
There's a lot. It doesn't need to be in here.
It just doesn't need to be there. Like, it's like, I don't need to talk about this. I can see this. I don't need to talk about every individual that's on a street and the patterns of bikes riding past buildings, casing joints. I can see it. It's going to take me 10 seconds in the movie to see it, or like 20 seconds, and it's done. I just feel like this is a man who I can personally attest to can do a lot with a minute of cinema.
Oh.
A lot. And so I just feel like I want to see him paint the canvas. It's like, do you know how many times in my life, and I'm sure you're the same, Josh, I've watched Godfather Part 3. It's a 3-hour, 20-minute movie. It moves.
Yeah,
it's blistering. And it happens over 2 huge time spans and even several years in those time spans.
Yeah.
And it just moves to this conclusion. Then it ends in a flashback.
Right.
And it's it's 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, it can be done. I know that the yardstick is that it can be done in one of the greatest movies ever made, but it can be done. And Michael Mann's a filmmaker of that caliber. It's like, give him the means. He has the proof of concept. It's the book. He has the proof of concept of the audience. It's a New York Times bestseller, number one, basically best-selling book, I think, this year. I don't think there's another book that's bigger. And so it's like, there's an audience. He has the text. If you want to see and get a sense for how the book moves, how it plays, to even like go through and go, oh, this will cost X amount, like you just do the rough math, go read the book. I'll tell you how much each section costs, you know, like as far as like a production for that sort of thing. You know,
Well, and I'd like to think that obviously he's been thinking about it for forever, right? Yes. And so I'd like to think that even his execution of the movie will be a very distinct execution versus the book.
Yes.
I'd like to think that they approached, you know, he's smart, and he approached the book to say, what best works in the book? What best works in book form to tell this story? But that may not equate in movie form, you know, like, you know, and so he probably, how he's intercutting, how he's telling these stories, what elements of the stories he's telling, obviously it's got to be cut down anyway, but I'd like to think that he's got an idea for how he wants to execute it as a film, especially because there's this giant section right in the middle that is already made into a film, you know? So how he's sort of maneuvering all that, I'm sure he's been thinking about it for a long time. Hell, and I'll take a prequel and a sequel if he wants to do that too.
Yeah. Look, I'm just like, I just love the ambition of trying to do it as this big period film, double part, or like not double part, but like big period film movie, putting it all out there. And I just feel like it's an epic scale that we don't get to see enough. And he's doing it pretty grounded, like shooting in Ciudad del Este in Paraguay, or Haiti for Paraguay, whatever the case may be, is probably going to be pretty damn cheap. It's not going to cost them a lot to shoot in that section, other than to get all the actors down there to do it. Anywhere on the Mexicali border can double for whatever they're shooting. Even other parts of South America, they could just take the whole thing down there and do it, and do a couple of pickups near towns. But it's like essentially a desert. You're going to go shoot in a desert. It could be one of the desert places, the old ranches they've used in, like, you know, TV show westerns. They could find somewhere to do that. And then it's the tougher hang is like, go and find a borough in Chicago, which they can still do a lot of stuff, but there's a hell of a lot of interiors that happen there. So you could do that, a hell of a lot of that on a soundstage. And then some of it you're doing on the Chicago streets in specific areas that you're doing, but some other places in the States can double for Chicago at night, especially a suburban Chicago at night from the 1980s. And it's just like, I feel like so much of it will just melt away.
Yeah.
You know, like
absolutely.
Like whole segments might go, no, we just don't have time for that. And I can do it better. I can be more inventive if I chunk all of this subtext into this one moment, you know? And and just think of all the things that are going through Vincent Hanna's head when he's driving down the freeway to go see Neil. And I'm like, that's all it needs. It just needs Neil, like in a car, like, you know, you
for
have that
20 seconds.
Yeah. Like, the force marker, like, dun, 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 dun. Like, it's there. It's like, there's 10 seconds, bang, finished. You know, you don't, So I think it can melt away, and I think there's always better to leave some parts of the book not mentioned or not explicitly talked to, just conveyed in movement and action. And but yeah, I would love and relish a film, because just seeing it on the big screen, there's nothing like seeing Heat on the big screen. When you see Heat on the big screen, it's like, yeah, all those times I watched it at home, they sucked.
Doesn't compare.
With the greatest respect. They weren't as fun. They weren't as fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Okay, no one agrees with me, but I have been riding hard for Alessandro Nivola to play Vincent Hanna. Tell me you love me.
Sleep until noon. Two officers picked up some colored taxi driver. Had to rough him up a little. These morons think we killed him. Spread around the central ward that way. They broke windows up and down Belmont Avenue. They're throwing bricks and bottles at us. We got two officers had to go to the hospital.
No shit.
You think this is funny?
Sure. Yes.
I think he's the right age, because he's like 50, and he, I think he reads a little bit younger, or he could read a little bit younger. I'm like kind of weirdly obsessed with the age thing, which is like so challenging, I think, at this point in time. It's like this impossible casting question, because it's like you have to play 88 and 2000 and also like be in some realm of relationship to the 1995 casting. Here's the thing. I think Vincent Hanna is fundamentally campy.
Yes.
And he's also erotic, and he's also operatic, right? Like he's like heightened constantly. And he has to like have sex appeal and be tough. And
These are important conversations that Katie and I have usually off air, which is good.
So you need all of these things. You need him to be like, you need him to express eroticism and operatic qualities. And I think it's not that I've seen Alessandro Nivola do this. It's just that I think that he has the capacity to do it.
Yeah.
And because I think he understands humor and camp, especially in one of my favorite movies, which is Neon Demon.
Yes.
And he's not doing a Vincent Hanna in Neon Demon, but he gets the sort
he's in the ballpark in Neon Demon.
He's like in the winking, like I find him so funny in Neon Demon, but I think that he could get to that like, blah, 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 like kind of like weird, great ass, like, kind of tonal wackiness. I think, you know, I don't want him to do Pacino, but I think he could do the Vincent Hanna thing, which is like over the top, but also still gravelly. So anyway, Alessandro Nivola is my pick. Also an Italian American king. So
Katie just did the hands.
Okay. For Chris, man, this has been truly plaguing me for
many
months.
Many a Discord message on One Heat Minute Productions has been dedicated to Chris. Many fucking people have given options.
I know.
This is the official One Heat Minute endorsed one, though. So this is, you know, I'm really high on Alessandro Nivola.
Okay.
If he does get cast, we actually... We are friends of Alessandro Nivola, so he might be able to come on the show.
Oh my God. Amazing. They have to give us credit. He's cast. Okay. So I am really torn between two choices for Chris. And also when I think of Chris, I think psychopathic surfer, which is what they talk about in the book. So I'm trying to erase Val Kilmer from my mind.
And we can't. And there's no. There's no more Patrick Swayze.
I really thought about Patrick Swayze too.
Oh my god.
I was just like,
got that same Val Kilmer quality, right? Like of the guy who could just kind of do anything. Funny.
Yeah.
Funny, hot, serious, hot. Yes.
Action. Yeah. And
to melt our two favorite worlds, Heat and Point Break, together would just be divine.
I think I'm torn between Glenn Powell and Austin Butler.
Yes.
I think Austin Butler, if he can do the toughness, the psychoness of Chris, I think he would be great. First of all, he's tall. I think we need a tall Chris, just yes. in my opinion. he's blonde. I think if he could rough himself up a little bit, I think he could do it. And I think he has the ability to do he's that. Glenn is a little too like prep school for me, but I think he's great.
Yeah. Pal's good. I'm really interested with your Austin Butler, because some of the things, this is going to sound so pervy, but perfect for us. He's got a great mouth.
Yes, he does. You know, he has a beautiful mouth. Thank you for saying that.
But like, that's what Val Kilmer has. He has a beautiful mouth, and he's very expressive. And it's all about like, that's why like Iceman, the whole like the great memeable scene of him. Yeah. Like doing the chomp. I'm like, Austin Butler has that about him, that mouth, like he could just snap his teeth and be like in someone's face. And I think if you've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the guy knows how to play a fucking psycho.
Can I help you? Shit.
How many other people are here?
Oh, just the one sleeping in the back there.
Go get him and bring him into the living room.
What if he says no?
Don't take no for an answer. You're the one with the knife. Get him in here!
Hey. You are real, right?
I'm as real as a donut, motherfucker.
Like true. He can,
yes,
he,
yes.
And so psycho and hot. If you're like hot psycho, it's like he's got both on his resume. Elvis, you know, all those things. He's definitely got it. So I love that as a choice. It's I'm a bit ride or die for Glenn Powell, but I love that. Who in the hell do you see playing Neil?
Oh, this I haven't even touched this because. God. Who can do it? And this is the problem that I'm running into, which is that I don't think there are enough actors who are tough.
Can I make a suggestion that is so on brand? As you wear a Miami Nice, beautiful Kate Gabriel design shirt, and I wear the Miami Vice crew t-shirt that you were so lovely to buy me. A hat as you love it to buy me, because we've got the shirts. Thank you, Joseph Tsai, our legend, who got them for us. Wouldn't it be great to see Colin as Robert, Colin doing Neil? The hotness quotient of the movie with Nivola and Austin Butler / Glenn Powell,
God.
and then
Jesus.
Colin Farrell. It's like, ladies, we'll buy a ticket.
I will buy 10 of them. Yeah, Neil is bedeviling me. But
it's hard.
Marissa on our Discord suggested Michael Ziegen for Hannah. I almost would go Neil.
Yeah, what's cool is that with whoever you cast as Hannah, you can almost equally make the argument that there's a Neil casting there. It's like, Colin Farrell, I genuinely think he worked with Pacino in The Recruit. He is really at the peak of his powers right now. He could do a Pacino or a De Niro, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Colin Farrell could do him.
He's one of the rare commodities that could actually do both and could do it all. And it's like he's so rare in that regard, because it's like, who the hell would you even name? It's like, well, you know what? Who's worked with Michael Mann? I think Colin Farrell is there. I'm just like, it's, other than that, it's really tough. Have you thought about Wardell?
Someone mentioned David Harbour, and I think that's a good choice.
He's tall.
Yeah, I think he's like kind of the obvious choice at this point.
You know, again, sometimes you look in the Michael Mann wheelhouse and you're like, who in this movie is going to get recast? Yeah. Who's going to be back?
I thought about that as well for Chris, and I was thinking Hemi. I was thinking Hemsworth.
Reactor in China, I heard about, but spike in soy futures.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I didn't know any of this. We don't get a lot of new news in here.
The U.S. government would like your technical advice on this. In exchange for that, we're going to furlough you right out of here. You sign that on the last page, and we'll get you processed.
You'll wear an ankle bracelet and be accompanied by a U.S. Marshal. Your computer access will be restricted.
If you want to study the whole document, you can go right ahead. I can come back in a month or two. I'm done.
You didn't sign it.
Yeah, why would I sign it?
Why? Because of the generosity of the assistant U.S. attorney in granting you a furlough.
Both you and the assistant U.S. attorney stick that document up your ass.
I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry? I insulted you. What are you sorry for? I'm not sorry.
Don't think you're gonna...
Hey! You want to raise me up out of here, solve your trade exchange dilemma, and I get furlough for a couple of weeks? You kidding me? You have any idea how much progress you're going to make on a strike this complex without someone like me? Zero.
This isn't a negotiation.
Well, I just made it one. You want me to pass this upstairs? My assistance results in the identification and the apprehension of the guy you're after. I want you to commute my sentence. I come up empty, you toss my ass back in the can. Those are the terms. Guard, interview's over.
Because he's got the height and the blonde, but I think he's too sweet.
Yeah, he's not a psycho.
No, he couldn't do that. So I was
he
like,
hasn't got
I,
shark but I just eyes. He hasn't got shark eyes.
Yeah, he needs shark eyes. So like physically, I was like, is it Hemsworth? But then I don't think he has the quality. I'm going to send you an IMDb link in the chat. This is my choice for Sharito, young Sharito.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
He's kind. I saw this guy.
Jack
his name is
Bandera.
Jack Bandera. I saw him in this movie, The Silent Twins, and he's really good. And he is like this kind of young-ish, like not as well-known actor, but he's got eyes, and
he
he's
does
tough.
Have the eyes.
I think he could do Sharito.
That's a banger, Katie. He's fantastic. Oh my God.
So it is fun. And then I was like, who's going to play Mykelti Williamson? And I'm like, it's just going to be Mykelti Williamson. The man is ageless.
Yeah, in the back.
Well, that's, he's immortal.
Like that. He's like one of the only guys. I really want to see that. I really, and it's also, you know, I just really want to see, I really want to see someone from the original Heat cast come back. And it's like, Wes Studi's a little bit older now, to play Casals, and yeah, so I'm going to I'm going to share you my 110% pick. This is my like, and I'm going to do the IMDb chat. IMDb link. Sending it to you in the chat because I want you to see this. He was in a terrific series. He did a fantastic turn in this series. He's now got his own series that's out, and I'm like, if this guy's not Casals, a casting agent didn't work hard enough.
Oh my God. Zahn McLarnon. I love him.
I love him too. I'm like, that guy, the minute I saw him, I'm like, this guy feels like Wes, like felt like Wes Studi to me. I'm like, he is so good.
And he's great. He's just like a great actor. He shows up in everything. Yes. You're so right. You're so right.
That's Casals. Has to be.
Yeah.
Do you think, and this is my theory and what I think they should do, the prologue of the book, so to dive all the way back to the prologue of the book feels like, you know, obviously it's scenes from Heat, right? It's Heat in summary and over a few pages, essentially. It's like what everything that happens in Heat. And I almost feel like in some ways they should recreate even just augmented versions of scenes that have the actors that they're using in Heat 2 to redo certain scenes or moments so that when they're kind of flashing back to things we've seen before, it's just the slightly, it's the other angle. It's the other option for that scene so that we get those guys doing that. Cause I feel like it'll reorient you really nicely in the movie when you see all the characters of who they're meant to be playing. Cause if you're familiar with Heat, you can kind of go like, this is how we're doing the continuity. Cause I know that man's like, I'm not doing de-aging. It's not happening. I'm casting.
Oh God, that'd be awful. Yeah. Yes. No, I'd rather see him just like cast a bunch of different people.
Yes.
Wait, I have one more question for you. Who is your Charlene?
Oh, this is almost impossible.
It's impossible. I was thinking, I mean,
so hard.
Okay, either Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Just
or Samara Weaving. The twins.
The twins. The Australian twins. Yeah, they're so great. I'm trying to think because Ashley Judd has this amazing dark featured quality. And I know this might be off the beaten track and it might just purely be thirst.
But hey, bring it on. We thirst.
Could it not be Aubrey Plaza?
I see, when I think of Charlene in the book,
older. You know, she's older.
Yeah, because I think Aubrey Plaza would be great. And also like to see her, like she was blonde at the Gotham Awards. So she can pull it off. I think of her being like from North Dakota or wherever she's from. And this girl who's sexy. Like I have to say she has to serve body. Okay. Yes. Charlene, because she's in Vegas, she's a escort in Vegas. And there's that moment where she walks through and Chris is just like all eyes on her. And she's just like a hot, she needs height, can't be petite. I think this is like, she's powerful. Her body is strong. Like she needs to be just like,
well, a working actor
on a stick.
working actor from North Dakota who does have height and is very attractive. Leslie Bibb is from North Dakota.
Oh,
yeah. So she's done lots of like TV and stuff, but yeah, the Charlene one is so hard. I mean, look, Elisa is like, I know she's semi-retired, but like if Eva Mendes doesn't get a call, someone should be shot, you know?
She totally has the Elisa quality. I was also thinking Eva Longoria. Is that weird?
Yeah. Eva Longoria could do it. Eva Longoria. Yeah. Eva Mendes, because I wanted to work more and I would love to see her in a Michael Mann movie. She feels like
Ryan Gosling should play Neil.
Well, I'm not mad at it. Like I'm not mad at it.
Right.
I mean, give him something after The Gray Man. He deserves a paycheck.
Oh, but No, I like the Eva Mendes idea.
Yeah, I'm I can't believe
what?
I can't believe he just were like, he's got a good mouth. I just can't.
Of course we were. Hey, Austin Butler, what that mouth do? Sorry. I'm sorry. You make me do this.
I don't make you do anything. This is my favorite thing. What happens is I get with you and I look in your eyes and I'm like, I can say all the things that I want to say and never say in real life. It's like you're just an enabler.
I know.
You're a big
codependent. It's a codependent relationship.
We see each other. When Katie and I start talking, it's like we get this our eyebrows raised and we're like, I can say everything I want to say. There's not going to be any judgment.
There will no not judgment. It's the judgment-free zone.
There's no kink shaming on my advice and Miami Vice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Fantasy cast me heat two. Let's go.
Who are we starting with?
Let's start with, because we've just come out of part five in our conversation that we've recorded for the Heat 2 book club. So let's start with Chris.
Okay.
Which I can say is the most impossible casting of any person that I can remember. Yeah,
and that's saying a lot, given that you also have to recast Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. But I think you could get, and sorry, I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I think you could get the energy of those guys without mimicking them directly, and I think people would buy that, you know? Yes. That's again, I think, leads into just the sad thing about the Kilmer of it all, is that he just is so locked in to that character. And so anybody I can think of, I think, doesn't have the patience that Val Kilmer has.
Yeah.
Right. Or at least maybe hasn't shown it yet. I, for one, would love to see, I mentioned Hemsworth. I say that mostly because he kind of looks like Kilmer. So you'd get that comp a little bit.
He's hot.
Yeah.
We don't need him so swole. He needs to go back to like
And he's a talented enough actor that I could, that's, I think
that I'd, tracks. Yeah.
I'd go with that. And that's fine. That feels like the easier answer. It's less easy answer, but still, I think kind of easy given his, you know, higher profile now, would be Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
A
lot of Glenn Powell love here. And I would say I'm a big fan of him. And from Everybody Wants Some, I like this guy. Yeah, this guy.
Dude was born to be a movie star.
Yeah.
I do think, here's a question, and maybe this is something I just missed in the description. Does Chris no longer has the ponytail, right?
So he's got shorter hair. And I think
is crucial to the casting. You need somebody who can pull off.
He's got shorter hair when he's, when he crosses the border, he has shorter hair. So then he has shortish hair. And then I would imagine 95, it's growing. It's like what, you know, in the parlance of, you know, when we were talking in part five, we talked about the Rogue Nation of it all. It's like that halfway between short and long. Like he's going to have some hair. It's kind of like the devastation of Clay Keller, our friend who cut his hair after he grew it and had like Colin Farrell locks and then cut it. And it's, I'm sadder about that than the Sight and Sound poll. You beautiful motherfucker.
Can you phrase it that way too, Clay Keller? Cause I think that would really hammer it home.
you cut your hair. You look so good. So it's that kind of like growing into that length, that Colin Farrell, Miami Vice, at a probably maximum length. So a short ponytail.
Here's a question. Controversial thing. Maybe could we just give one of these parts to Colin?
Connor, there is something here that I would say genuinely that Colin Farrell, people who are listening to this episode have probably heard, like some people have said, you know, the best person that Colin Farrell can play is Nate. Just come in and do Nate. Like basically come and do that.
Sure.
But I am so strong on this. Colin Farrell could be a great Neil.
Yes. Also yes. Yes.
Could be a fucking phenomenal Vincent Hanna. And there are not many actors. In fact, I don't think that there are any actors in the world who could play both. And I would be totally convinced and happy because he did a tutelage under
Pacino on The Recruit. Like, yeah. The Penguin is a Robert De Niro character. Like,
it's the Untouchables. Yeah.
He could do both. You a guy who can do both. He could do both. I would be totally happy with it. I know that, you know, that for me, I'm like, there's only one guy who can play both of those roles that I think is completely fine and would not blink at. And for me, it's Colin Farrell, because he's worked with Mann. He's worked with such amazing filmmakers. He's such a terrific actor. He's in the right age range for both those guys. So yeah, we could get Colin in there for sure.
Here's a question, because I love him tremendously. So it's, who do you get to replace him? Because I do think he's one of the best supporting characters in a Michael Mann movie. Who plays Drucker?
I think Michael T. Williamson, Katie Walsh. Yeah, right. He's like, he's ageless. Just get Michael T.
Sure.
Back.
Yeah, we'll just get
some hair dye. Get him back.
Sure.
Why are we wasting time? The casting's done.
You get a lot of good Drucker in the book. It is prime Drucker.
Yeah, part six is fantastic Drucker.
Amazing. Amazing. And the other name that I saw bandied about when the book came out for Pacino, and I get the energy and I'd be willing to hear it, is Jeremy Allen White. He was the lead on that show, The Bear.
Yes, he's fantastic, but he's too young for the old Hannah.
That's the hard part.
Like, if this was just ADA, and, you know, if this was a conversation about, we're going to do the 88 segment, which personally I don't necessarily prescribe to doing it this way. But like, if you're going to do this is why it's incredibly tough. Because I think 12 years as a man, and this is what I'd say to myself, like, I looked at a photo that was 10 years old of me. With John Rhys-Davies recently.
Oh,
like,
I saw that.
Look at Baby Blake. And I'm like, but I don't look.
You don't look
that much different, right?
I mean, Blake, it seems like you've got incredible genes, though. You've just aged very well.
I say this to my wife today. I tell her genuinely that she's more beautiful than ever. And my friend goes, no, you've both got the glow up. Like you've both glowed up, you know? And so, but I would say 12 years, 10, 12 years. You still look the same.
It's not
20. 20 is the stretch, right? Or 30. Mm-hmm. It's like the span of the Irishman. It's really at the edges and the early edges when they have to rely so heavily on that, you know, digitization and the augmentation to make these guys younger, that it's a stretch that you kind of have to cringe through for like 10 minutes. But then once they actually get in that 20-year bracket, it's fucking plays. Like, it's just hair and makeup and clothes and it plays.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, not to tangent, but with it, what helps in The Irishman, though, is that I don't think De Niro got enough credit for how well he played younger. Like, the way he
was really
behaved, the way he read his lines,
physicality.
Yeah. And some of that, obviously, you know, people reference like the kicking the guy on the curb and whatever. Some of that, obviously, you just can't hide the age or whatever. But the way he'd behave in scenes, or the way he'd react to like superiors and things like that, he did a really great job of playing younger. And you would need an actor who can do that here as well.
Yeah, I think that
be able to play old. I mean, you don't need to worry about it with Neil, because Neil's dead. But
yeah, I think the guy from The Bear is phenomenal. Yeah, and because Neil dies early, you can legitimately go for someone who, you know, you'd have to push them to the ceiling of their age range, because he doesn't necessarily directly encounter Vincent. But it's also like, you kind of have to have those two guys, even though they're a couple of years apart in real life.
Yeah.
You have to have them looking like corollaries. They have to be similar, you know, in their look, and their attitude and those. But that guy is a young Pacino. Like, I even, you know, I tweeted something like, I think he's got Pacino dimensions. You know,
that's,
like, he just,
I think that's the thing. Like, he, you know what it is? It's, he just seems sweaty all the time.
Yes.
So I think what I see, and to your point of him maybe not being old enough for Hannah, is like, I could see him starring in a version of like Dog Day Afternoon and doing amazing job.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, doing an amazing job.
Fine.
Yeah.
If Sidney Lumet still existed, you know that Lumet would be like, hello.
Right.
I have like, I have three New York set movies that I need.
Yeah,
you for.
Absolutely.
You're moving
absolutely.
Here.
He could do a Before the Devil Knows Your Dad.
Oh,
you know, Jeremy.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, I will say, just overall, that the tricky thing with the recasting is it sets things in such a different frame with characters that are so iconic, that this kind of leads me to my big take about Heat 2, which is that I don't know if Michael Mann should direct this film.
Wow.
And my logic, I would love to see it. I don't get me wrong, but here's my logic for why. Cause I think to get a good, obviously Heat being as great as it is, and to get a good Heat 2, or even a great Heat 2, if we can get it, the closest comp I would have cinematically speaking of Michael Mann would be Manhunter to Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Right. And I think what helps those movies coexist as both beautiful versions of the Hannibal Lecter character specifically is that they're made by different filmmakers.
Yeah. And they have completely different agendas. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I think granted, there's so much of Mann in the story, and obviously this does feel like a labor of love for him. So I'm not going to obviously be mad if he does direct it, but I do think if somebody else directed it, I think that would alleviate a little bit of the hard work we would have to do as fans and viewers to be like, well, that's not Al Pacino and that's not Val Kilmer. And that, you know,
I actually think that's worse, Connor. I'd be scared because I'm like, I feel, and this is my theory that I've said privately, but we'll now share. I feel like Michael Mann had this in a script form, especially as an outline, for many years and was like, give me the money to make it. And everyone's like,
and time just got away from it.
Yeah, basically. Like or time or money or whatever. And people are like, no, we're not going to make it. No, we're not doing a Heat 2. It's too big. It's this and that. You can't get the actors. It'll cost too much. Blah, blah, blah. Like, this goes over multiple decades. You know, this, you know, yeah, whatever. It's a period film in many respects. No, we're not going to make it. And I feel like, what is one way, even in the kind of state of the industry that we are in, that you can almost guarantee that a movie is going to be made? It's like IP. So, you know, yeah, that's true. 100%. And so when it's not Marvel and those sorts of things that a lot of people get caught up and sort of strangle the conversation with, that it's the New York Times bestselling list. Like, you go to that list, and when there's a New York Times bestseller, people are like, that's a movie. And so I feel like Michael Mann's like, I'll show you, I'll write this as a book, and I'll validate my theory that there is a fandom out there. And you know this, and I know this, is like, I can tell you there's a fandom. There's no reason that I'm even on this microphone right now without Heat, right? Like, it's there's a fandom out there. There is a community out there. The canon has tilted that Heat is almost universally agreed as one of the greatest crime films ever made. And potentially, if not undeniably, Michael Mann's best film. Sure. And so you have that out there, and I just feel like him going, that's the validation to make it. And my thing is, I will go anywhere with Michael Mann, but if it was someone else, that would be even harder. And like, if it was,
no, that's a fair point. That's my only, there's a level of trust. Yeah. There's a level of trust there that
I can, I don't know what other people would do with this dialogue. Like, I don't know what other people would do with these settings. Like, I'd be like, who out there excites me?
I don't think I can realistically think of someone who could take it over that I would be like, oh, that feels okay.
There's only one person that I think would have the clout to go on, it's being made as a movie. His name's Chris Nolan.
He would be the only one, right? And if it was like produced by Mann, written by Mann, directed by Nolan.
Yeah, that's the only person that I can conceivably see out there who.
And that
would
also weirdly
it.
Feels like the lamest choice possible, kind it's, of like it the is most lame. It's like it the is. Most uninteresting choice possible. I guess that's my thing, is like, you would almost have to find somebody. And again, I'm not saying I really want any of this to happen. I'm more so leveling it as like a maybe this, right?
Yeah.
But you would maybe just have to find somebody who would make it look and. Like, maybe the only way it succeeds is if it looks and feels completely different, right? Yeah, like,
I think that suits to him, because the great thing about Heat, it's his really last classic, like classically classicist, like as far as formalism made film. And so then when he evolves, like, it's got little splashes of digital photography, etc. But then the gap between that and like Miami Vice and Collateral, there are huge swings in that other direction. So I feel like it's going to be the blend of those two things, which is going to be the most interesting in how he approaches it. But
it'll look like Black Hat.
It'll look like Miami Vice. It'll look like Collateral. Like, and you know, especially contemporary Chicago under that kind of Collateral lens feels like super fun. I don't know how they're going to do the Western element, because it does feel like it's got a very, you know, the part four, which you know, we didn't talk about, but led into part five, you know, ends with a huge canyon standoff. It's and in the bright of in the glowing bright of day, you know, it feels like his OK Corral, like, which it's amazing.
Yeah, I was gonna say it feels like straight from a Cormac McCarthy novel.
Oh yeah, Roger Deakins would eat that up, you know. So do you have a Neil in mind? Did you have anyone else in mind? Or are there any other actors that pop up? Or when you said Drucker before, we sort of squashed it with Michael T. Williamson, but who's some of the people in your mind's eye that you've been thinking about, anyone else in the Heat cast?
That's the thing is I never really thought too much about, because I think also he's not in a lot of the book, right? He's like the third character in this one, right? As opposed to the first one. So I hadn't really thought about it, but the Colin Farrell thing was the thing that sprung in my mind, because when you said he could play Hannah, and I agree. I think I would rather see him as Neil.
Yes.
Cause I just think Colin Farrell knows how to really hone in on like broken, tender feelings, right? Yeah. It's all over so many of his best performances, including Miami Vice. And I feel like that's at the core of what happens to Neil in this one, you know, like, is you're just watching someone being emotionally dismantled.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think Farrell, you know, Farrell to me would be the best man for that job. And Hannah's hard because Hannah's really difficult because you don't want someone, I wouldn't want someone to do a Pacino impression, but at the same time the cadence of those, like the way the lines are written, you're like, no, it
almost has to be
certain, especially because there are certain the things I love
what
about
do you see
the,
what do you know
like, no right right no exactly and the thing the one of the things I love specifically that the book brings up is Hannah uses a lot of the same isms, and I kind of love it because you're like, oh, yeah, like when you say that, you're full of shit. It's just part of your like tactic, right? It's part of the tools. That's not just a thing Vincent Hanna says as a normal thing. That's like a tool you're pulling out of the bag to like, you know, aggravate a witness or something like that, right? Like, and that stuff I really love, but I couldn't imagine anybody saying some of those same phrases, not like Al Pacino, right? Like, it just can't happen. And yet I don't, it's hard. It feels like an impossible task. The existence of Heat 2 as a movie.
Well, we can only hope after Ferrari that Michael Mann is immediately in pre-production.
Like, could Adam Driver be in this movie? Sure. Give him any one of them. Probably.
I've got a hot tip for Adam Driver, which is I think Adam Driver's Wardell. I think Adam Driver as kind of big, because both De Niro and Pacino, and I've seen it with my own eyes, are quite diminutive gentlemen.
Yes, they're not tall fellas.
They're not tall fellas. And so when some people are like, oh, we could get this person to play, I'm like, that guy's way too tall. Like, it just takes out the equilibrium. Michael T. Williamson is tall. Like, Wes Studi is a shorter guy, you know, and they were unafraid of that in the makeup of Vincent's crew. Like, Vincent's a short guy, and there's tall guys, and, you know, Ted Levine's a taller guy, and Michael T. Williamson's really tall. And it's like, it wasn't one of those movies where, like, everyone, the hero had to be the tall white hat. Like, they were kind of, part of Neil's allure is that he can blend in. He's not like a guy. But Wardell is big.
Imposing,
powerful, tall, and has some kind of magnetism. And I would love to see Adam Driver go full psychopath for that. I think he could do it.
You get a little bit of like The Last Duel in there a little bit.
And his performance in Girls, which he plays basically a psychopath. Because Lena Dunham would want to date a psychopath. So, you know, that's the correlation. But you know, you look back through his resume, there's plenty of guys, you know, John Ortiz is going to be in this movie. We know somewhere, you know, he'll be around. So
what do we think about Anna?
See, this is the one that I've had, like, I personally think that.
What do we think about Jessica Henwick? She was in Matrix Resurrection.
Oh, yes, totally. You know, but then it just depends on the chemistry.
Right, right.
And it just depends on the chemistry with whoever.
But she
there.
Just we mentioned this on a recent B-side episode we recorded that she just like she's just one of those performers like the camera loves her. And yes. I think both obviously not even just physically, but she just has such charisma and she really like fills the room.
Yes.
And I feel like that's the exact presence that somebody like Anna probably needs.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that, Jessica Henwick. I think that's that's a good shout.
Text that to Michael just so you know.
Well, you know, Michael, one of our main subscribers, I'm sure will be listening intently to our suggestions for this.
Thank you so much for listening to the second of three Heat 2 Fantasy Cast sessions. I have the amazing Josh Caldwell. I have my partner in crime, Katie Walsh, and Connor O'Donnell helping me out discussing our picks for who should be cast in Heat 2. We have one final episode in the Heat 2 fantasy casting and in this mini series all about Heat 2, the Heat 2 book club. Thank you so much for listening. Oneheatminute.com if you want to check stuff out. That has links to our merchandise from the amazing Kate Gabrielle, all of our shows, and every way that you can subscribe. Thank you so much for listening once again. Also, if you want to reach out to us, mail@oneheatminute.com. And don't forget, if you want to support us, patreon.com/oneheatminute. You get to be part of a Discord family of operatives. Catch you on the next episode. One Heat Minute, just around the corner.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.